Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, Arlene.
Oh, okay. I thought you usually introduce it, so yes. I was being good. Anyhow, I wish to thank Reverend Ron Caesar for being on tonight, and I thank Marty Oakley and her organization for bringing this on and letting patients have a voice in what's happened to them. Reverend Ron Caesar, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm listening.
Okay. Do you want me? I know that you ran for governor in Louisiana at one time, correct?
Yes, in 2011.
Yeah, and if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, first of all, I appreciate the honor, but I'm not a minister. I'm a PhD, Dr. Caesar.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Caesar. But I do get a lot of, reverends, but I just take it as a compliment because I try to carry myself upright. I was born and raised in Louisiana, a little small town called Oberlin, Louisiana. Two wonderful parents. Graduated from HBCU's Grambling State University with a bachelor's in accounting. Then MBA from Southern University in Baton Rouge, and then just last year, my PhD in public administration. And I've been working in civil rights for over 30 years now. I started with the NAACP, learned a lot from some of the best lawyers in the country, and in 1990, I founded my own civil rights organization called People on Way and Equal Rights or Power, and we've helped a lot of people just simply trying to do God's work.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, your name really has shaken up quite a few people, and I thank you, really. So I want to thank you for your concern and your compassion. I brought in a few patients, so you can hear yourself what is going on, and I think that their patients tell it much better than I do. So do you want to go ahead first, Greg?
Sure. My name is Greg Hansen, and I was in a car accident. And in 2011, I had a liver and pancreas transplant, and my kidney failed me. So I ended up in dialysis in 2013. And I started complaining about it, and as that was going on, I thought my best option would be to try to get a transplant. And so to do that, you have to get approval from your doctor. And I got the approval. I went out of state, did a lot of tests, got the approval, and then a day before the whole thing was supposed to happen, my doctor down here calls and says I wasn't going to play with UCLA. Now, we found out that was a lie, and he was lying because he also was the medical director of satellite dialysis, and they ended up trying to stop my transplant. He didn't know that he'd get caught lying about this. When they found out he was lying about it, he quit me and blackballed me, forcing me to get emergency dialysis. And I went to satellite dialysis for help and for other doctors, but since he was also, my doctor was also the medical director had satellite dialysis. I've had to get emergency dialysis at Marine General Hospital for over 2 years. And on top of that, he also runs the dialysis at the hospital. So he's made my life very miserable. That's pretty much my story.
Wow.
Well, he also was, they called the police on him and took away his companion dog and took it to the pound and made him pick it up. Had his car towed.
Oh.
And this is a gentleman that, to live, he petitioned the court. Now, Greg, if I don't have this right, correct me, because I have your file, but it's so big, you know. But when you went into the dialysis and you went to the hospital, they also towed your car, arrested you. And Marin Hospital, in my opinion, and from what I've seen, and these are fully documented cases on who is talking tonight in the queue. So what does one do? He petitioned the court to go to jail so he would be able to receive dialysis and live. He also... the doctor, from I understand, the judge ruled, do I have this correct? The judge ruled that I hear somebody in the background. The judge ruled that the doctor was lying, and the doctor never talked to our, they are responded to, or did UCL responded to, and he was denied that kidney. And whoever's on the line, if you could mute your phone. So is that correct, Greg?
Correct. What happened was he told the board up in Seattle at the Swedish Medical Center that he got a phone call from UCLA that was not compliant. But it ended up that only one person at UCLA speaks for me, and she never contacted him, and I am 100% compliant. And that's where the lie got caught.
And this is typical retaliation. And remember, Medicare and the oversight signs off on all terminations. Did you go to the network, Greg?
Yes, I did. See,
and what did they do?
Nothing. I mean, I went all the way to the President of the United States through the network system because they kept on saying you need to escalate it up to the Secretary of State, et cetera. And then I got a 2-page letter basically saying that there's nothing they could do.
And even the White House sent it back, and everywhere you complain, it sends it back to HHS. And then HHS sends it to CMS, who does the pain, and then it goes to the network. And it's over for the patients in many cases. They're terminated. The majority of the terminations we see are due to complaining about care. And like I said last week, so why would they want to get rid of patients? Because they make $1 million for each patient that they have because they have the contract. So they get $1 million for dialyzing. In many cases, it's the same patients they terminated. Until they die.
Arlene, is that per patient? I mean,
per patient.
Per time mm-hmm. they get dialyzed, or is it just...
By the time, it's $1 million once a patient is terminated a year.
A year.
To be so treated. If you live 2 years, it's $2 million.
Okay. So in other words, the cash incentive is to kick them out of the dialysis so that they have to go to that emergency room because they make more money.
Correct. I mean, how we reward these patients. But worse than that is that Medicare has been aware, and this is taxpayers' money that is used to do this to our patient population. And if you're of no more value, they have nothing to lose. It's like weed and feed. Get rid of the ones that are costing you money. And that is due to the star system, I feel. the star system CMS came up with, well, you have to give excellent care. If you don't, you lose the star, then you get cut in reimbursement. So they really fight hard to keep those stars. And when you keep these stars, you just, it's caused more termination because the money value of having someone drag or lose a star is an incentive enough to dump these patients. I have the whole thing of the five star, and I've been on the record this would cause more terminations, and it has. Reverend, it's like I call you Reverend. It's so instilled in me. Dr. Caesar, do you have any questions for him?
I don't know what's happened there, Arlene. We have another caller that has come in. Peter Layer, he said you know him. And,
Yes.
Okay, so he's on with us also. What I don't understand is if they know all this is going on, and considering the cost involved in this, in doing this way, not to mention the fact that you're screwing with somebody's life here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get Medicare to respond.
Right.
That absolutely...
No, with full knowledge. And from what I understand from our lawyers, is all these people who haven't cared over the years, I've been doing this 20 years, all of them are still legally liable because they held that office with full knowledge.
Oh, my God. That is just disgusting. That is just absolutely... disgusting. And they put you, what did they do with you while you were in jail? I mean, how did they take care of you?
What happened was the Humane Society, I have a service dog, and the Humane Society wrote a note saying, I cannot leave my service dog in the car. So I brought him in the hospital with the note. They didn't like the note, so they arrested me for trespassing. They took me to jail, but the nurse said, you're too sick to go to jail. You need to take him back to emergency. So every time they've arrested me, they brought me back to emergency.
Wow, this is just incredible. I just cannot believe that they would do this. I think what's bothering me here again, Arlene, is what I find in all these issues I deal with like this, is the complicity, the willingness of other people to do this to another human being and claim that, well, because of my job, I have bills to pay. I got a family to support, or their agency that they work for. We can do this because we always do this. But the willingness of people to participate in this
Marty.
Go ahead.
What's really sorry to interrupt. I have a terrible habit, But the sad part is the workers are also, in many cases, are threatened with their nurse's license if they speak out and don't sign this. And we have had two nephrologists that I know of that had the staff accuse a doctor, a nephrologist, of sexual harassment and go after their license. So it's not just... a doctor or a nurse can go to another place to work. True. But I'm saying everybody pays a price for speaking out.
Okay.
And we have we have doctors and we have whistleblowers that come to us, so we just send right up to the lawyers. There are people that are speaking up, but you have to offer them silence, confidentiality.
Right.
Until they go through the whistleblowing process. And you and I know what that's like.
Yes.
So we are, and that's where the change is going to come, because one person can't say anything. Patients are the ones who are going to carry it over the finish line. But it's also, I don't care who you are or what you are, your life is of no value because they strip you of your dignity and self-respect. And it's like being in reform school is how I feel. This Reverend, as I keep saying, Dr. Caesar on?
I'm showing him live.
Okay. Well, maybe he's just listening.
Okay,
Terry?
I took it off mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes. I sure can. Well, you followed directions, Dr. Caesar.
Yeah. You sound
yeah,
much
well,
better.
You know, because, yeah, thank you. Yeah, but I heard everything. My question to the gentleman is where does it stand now legally, and did he have an attorney to get involved?
No, I went to some major law firms in San Francisco, and they all had relationships with the doctor, and they said they would not represent me. So I ended up going pro per, and I'm in federal court right now. But I would like to add that I've lived in Marin County for 55 years, and in the 55 years, the only two times I got arrested was those two times, and they arrested me for trespassing. I never was charged. Just arrested, brought to jail, and then brought back to emergency just because I tried to enter the hospital with my service dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you have a criminal record.
Oh, well, I'm not sure if I have a criminal record, but if you go on the internet, you can see that there's an arrest record.
Right, yeah, and that has to be expunged in the state of Louisiana. It costs you $550. In other states, it costs anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 to remove. You go to apply for a job, it pops up just like, you know, everyday life when the sun shines.
So they're doing damages.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say something, they arrested this man and didn't charge him, but it still goes on his record as an arrest. And now it shows up, like if he applies for a job or he does anything else, it shows up that he got arrested, which is just as damaging as saying you got convicted.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people are unaware of. Anytime you get arrested, and I learned this through working with some of the best attorneys in the country, a lot of people say, oh, well, they didn't prosecute me, it was dismissed. Oh, it was dismissed from the court system as far as you being guilty or not guilty, but it's on your record for life. The only way it can be removed is you will have to pay whatever the state mandates. In Louisiana, they just passed this about 3 years ago. It used to be $1,500. And the poor people were the ones who were getting affected. They go to apply for a job at a local plant, and they say, well, we ran a background check on you, and it appears that you got arrested for such thing. And you say, oh, well, that was dismissed. They never show any disposition or anything. That means it did. They don't put on that was dismissed. They just put subject arrested and no other details, and it costs the people more money to go have it removed simply to get a job.
Jiminy Christmas. That is,
yeah, and
well,
that's why they call the police on all these patients. They all have police records or disturbance calls. So even if you have a disturbance call, Dr. Caesar, that means you also have a police record, correct?
No, ma'am. What you have in that situation is the police won't admit to this, but they keep what they call an internal file. I think whenever in some state, they keep getting a call from a certain person about another person being a disturbance. Until you're arrested, nothing is documented publicly. Remember, anytime you are arrested, it is a public record. Somebody can go online and Google your name and purchase all your arrest records and use it against you. A lot of people are unaware of that. They'll pay anywhere from $19.95 to $49.95. And girlfriends do that on boyfriends they want to check out who say, oh, I'm, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. And they found out he's been arrested 16 times, and he did 6 months in a county jail. You can find anybody's record online these days for a few dollars.
Yeah.
So it's very damaging. It's very damaging. Power will operate in three fashions. We first try to educate. We educate whenever we receive a signed signature to do an inquiry. We educate both sides as what is the intent. The intent is to find out what's going on. Number two, where are we going with it? And three, what are the expectations of the person whose life is on the line? And then we move to the next phase, which is to negotiate what we call mitigate. What can both sides meet and say, okay, this is agreeable? And then finally, if we cannot do it at that point, we recommend that the client file suit in federal court. The reason we say federal court, state of Louisiana, it only costs you $400, even if you have to just take it all the way to the next level, whereas in a state court, you have to file, and it costs anywhere from $475 to $675. And as the expense build up, before you know it, you've got a $10,000 bill. In this particular case with people with kidney dialysis, it's about patients' rights. It's about HIPAA, you know, their privacy rights and so forth. And retaliations, for example, for filing a complaint is against the law. So what you have here is really criminal. They just simply haven't been indicted. The only reason they're afraid of the NAACP and Power is that we have access to the people who can perhaps go after them. That's why when you mention NAACP or Ron Caesar with Power, some of them shake. Is that not that we're big bad bullies? We know somebody maybe in New Jersey who could go after you that's not necessarily your friend, and it can't be bought off.
That's the important thing. That's the important thing. And the thing is this is probably the first time, Dr. Caesar, that patients have been educated on their rights, because they have no rights, because no matter where you complain, it goes back to the network, and we know who turned them into the health department. We know who complained to the White House. We know who complained to our senator, because they have it locked in where they automatically get at the networks, which is the industry. So they get all this information, and also they are supposed to be for quality of care. But what kind of quality of care do you have if they never contact the patient and let them know the reasons they were terminated? And we're finding character assassinations. We have to stop this mass exodus of no rights and executions, really.
Well, I understand. And what I recommend at this point, and first of all, thank you, Ms. Arlene Mullins, for all that you do. Thank you for your service, because you are actually saving lives. And God is smiling on you for that, because when you sent me some of the stories and I reviewed it and read it, I said to myself, my God, this cannot be happening in 2018. And everybody's just walking around like it's a day in the park. You know,
right.
So thank you for your service, ma'am, as being an advocate for, most of the time, these are people who are poor. The ones who have money, they will always have the best of health care. It's the people who are dependent on Medicaid or other resources, pro bono lawyers, meaning lawyers who are just working without pay because they're simply standing for something, standing for human rights. I'll just give you an example. In civil rights, which is my heavy area, I've gotten into medical a little bit later, because some of these issues have seemed to be popping up more. And I'm age 65 myself, United States Navy veteran, and I'm watching my health a little more closer than I even did 10 years ago. But the doctors have a Hippocratic oath that they take, that they are supposed to give the best care possible, regardless of cost, whatever like that. Of course, they throw these little laws in to say, oh, we can't admit you to this emergency room. You need to go across town. Well, let us find out about that. That's against the law. If a person's life is on the line, they are supposed to accept them in the emergency room, make sure they are stabilized, And if they do not accept their insurance, they get them to the next particular hospital, but you don't completely refuse them and tell them to go across town. We've had cases like that where we found some good old lawyers who they picked on their grandma about 3 years ago, and they went in there and filed a suit. And, oh, today they're like, what can we do today? Change their attitudes completely. So it's something can be done, and it usually is education, mitigation, and then finally stubborn litigation, because it's even in the good book, the Bible, you can reason with a wise man, meaning mankind. But a fool, right. They say you've got to put a strap to his back. I'm sorry, but it's in there. Another way we say we just simply take them to court, because that's the only thing they understand. Well, two things. They understand money, like you say, getting right. $1 million. But they understand lawsuits, because why? Lawsuits dig into that $1 million. It drops down to about a half a million and maybe erodes completely when they have to defend, for example, I would recommend a class action lawsuit.
Normally, going after, yeah. That's why,
right.
You know.
Right. Normally,
they don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I forgot already.
Yeah,
go on.
Well, normally, in a class action lawsuit, the ones I've monitored, they just need a certain number of people for the judge to certify that there is a systematic pattern, for example, of discriminating against people of color, people who are over the age of 40, or whatever. And normally that's maybe anywhere from 5 to 10 people who will sign a lawsuit and say, yes, this person did this to me. And remember, it must be within most states 1 year's time. Do not let anything pass over 1 year before you go to court. The reason power has become so popular, a lot of people can't find pro bono lawyers. We either put them in touch with a lawyer and monitor it, and if the lawyer doesn't do what he said he's going to do, well, we put a public out there, no, we don't recommend this guy because they're just trying to get their name out there, but they're not doing what they say they do. And we try to get lawyers to show the clients how to file the suits themselves. Now, we operate off of donations, and membership is $30 a month, but we make it off of donations, and those donations help us to train people in some way. If I give a man a fish sandwich, I'll feed him for one day. But if I show him how to fish, you know, how to bait the line, everything, I'll feed him for life, and that's what we do.
Well, I'd like to have the information at the end of the show of how they can reach you, too, because I tell you, you are a godsend. I was, you know, I can't thank you enough. But these
air leak over here because the chamber keeps going down.
The what?
Oh.
Oh, am I talking?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, we can hear you.
This is Peter. Doing dialysis.
Oh, hi. Yeah, he's
hi,
how
you doing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Arlene wanted me to call in today. I was actually involuntary discharged from a home dialysis program. I'm actually a physician. I'm still licensed in the state of California, even though I haven't practiced since I started dialysis in 2007. But they went ahead and involuntarily discharged me April 16th, and Arlene was able to get that reversed on May 2nd with a teleconference with the head of social work for Fresenius and with the parties involved. Yet they still have me here in center because they say they don't have a nurse available for me.
Wow.
What?
So,
yeah,
I mean, it's typical.
You don't have to be, you know, somebody that's from a disadvantaged life to have these for-profit dialysis corporations go out of their way to, you know, deny the rights that you have as a dialysis patient. I've actually met with many of the CEOs of different dialysis corporations. In fact, I met with the CEO of Fresenius in 2012 in January. His name was Ben Lips. He retired at the end of the year because he didn't like something that I wrote about in one of my blogs. But we had a very amiable three-hour meeting, and I was able to see the research that they were doing on the subject I was talking about. But since he retired, Fresenius has just become a completely different corporation than it was before. And it's not doing well right now. And the problem is you involuntarily discharge somebody from in-center. That's a death sentence without any due process whatsoever. And it's horrific.
Exactly.
And that has come to an end.
Could I ask a question? You said you're a physician and you're not practicing. Can I ask why?
Oh, I'm on dialysis. You know, when you get
so, but what
disease,
does that mean? So,
when you get kidney disease,
disabled.
When you get kidney disease, go on dialysis. Your brain doesn't work the way it used to.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, no. There's no way that I could be as sharp
that?
As you need to be
yeah.
as a physician, huh? Sure.
Can you talk about that? About the effect on the brain when you suffer from this disease?
Oh, sure. You end up the biggest cognitive disorder that you get is Evelyn. Can you turn off my blood pressure? The biggest thing you get is difficulty word finding. So it doesn't engender a lot of confidence in patients if you're sitting there and say, I know something that'll work really well for this, and in about 5 or 10 minutes I'll remember what it is.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I see.
That's
yeah. It. And
well,
plus, what causes this, doctor? What causes this?
Well, nobody really knows for certain. But when you do hemodialysis, you end up getting micro air bubbles that go through the whole system that do lodge in the brain. So there's some people that believe that that's the cause. We don't know for certain what it is.
Okay. Okay.
But
all right.
But you know, there's also, you know, severe fatigue that goes along with the kidney disease. So it was just really impossible for me to work at the level that I wanted to be able to work at with kidney disease and on dialysis. But I am interested in Dr. Caesar's power organization. But I found it hard to find any information online about your organization.
Right, we fly below the radar because, unlike some of the other organizations, they seek notoriety. Every time they do something, they call the three local TV stations and they parade up and down and say, look what we are doing. Well, since 1990,
right.
we've proven that we can be more effective by showing whenever, for example, we do an inquiry, we're showing the other party we're not trying to be the bad guy here. We're simply trying to be the middle man, if you will, to help
right.
both sides come to an agreement, an arbitrator, if you will. And so they right. like that, but we said now, like the young folks say, don't get it mixed up or twisted. We can put you in the spotlight, but it has not been our reputation. So that helps us because there are a lot of organizations in Louisiana, every time you see them, they're on TV. So when they go to somebody to try to mitigate or work something out, they're afraid of them in a wrong sense because they think the first thing they're going to do you have a recorder on or do you have cameras outside? And so they just know and respect us because we're simply trying to work out an agreement in this particular case for dialysis patients to save a life. And on the other side, they're working. We realize that they're working for a profit. That's okay in America, but not at the expense of somebody's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I would recommend at this point, since it seems to be a growing problem, to get their attention. Do an inquiry. They feed you the old line like everybody else. We're not doing anything wrong. Okay. Well, let's tell it to another third party a guy in a robe, a federal judge. And we usually move quickly and we get results by that, because normally they want to settle out of court with all the parties before we go to court, because as you know, when you go to court, you're airing out everybody's dirty laundry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well
right.
Yeah, I would love to learn more about your organization. And
I'm
up here in the middle of
maybe
Dean can give you my email or something. We correspond.
I can do it with you. I can flip it over to you, Ryan. Or do you want to give your email out? I mean, you're going to get inundated.
I don't mind getting my email out, which is the initials of my name, part of my last name, and so forth,
right.
Which is letters RRCEAS, the number one at yahoo.com, which is part of my name, Ronnie Ray Caesar, RRCEAS. number1@yahoo.com. Now, we have a board of directors. We operate like any other organization. We're nonprofit. We've been around since 1990. Our forte is civil rights, but also human rights, because we value life no matter what the color, race, whatever. In NAACP, for example, in Lake Charles, one of my most famous, infamous cases cut at other parties was an interracial couple in the 90s who they fired a young lady who was black, married to a young white guy, both by 24, and it was the girl in the office who didn't feel that that was the thing to do at that time. Well, she wound up losing her job, and the other lady got reinstated. And we didn't go around bragging, because at that time I was with the NAACP, but that's the type of work we do. We simply bring the issues to the powers that be, the president, CEOs, the lawyers for the companies, and give them a reasonable time to fix the problem. And if we advise them, if you don't fix it within 30 to 60 days, which is reasonable, then we'll let another third party take what they think about it, and that's the guy he or she in the black robe. They don't want to go there. And remember, I recommend federal court, because federal courts deal more specifically with civil and human rights. From gay rights to human rights to civil rights, they deal with the problems that people deal with every day. They deal with the problems of the voiceless. And as the gentleman stated a while ago, although he's a doctor, it crosses not only racial lines or whatever like that, it crosses income lines now, because he may be well set for life. He's got money, but he wants to enjoy the rest of his life the best he can with the monies he's got, and they're still discriminating against him. So that's very troubling.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm going to have to go, Arlene. I got 10 more minutes, so I've got to come off and get ready to pull needles out of my arm. So,
okay.
Thank you for sharing with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yep.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Laird. Okay, do we have, who else do we have on the line, Marty, on the queue?
You've got Miss Lee on.
Okay. Do you want to go,
Greg.
Carrie? Okay.
Hi. I want to just give a shout out to all of the patients and to the host. Thank you so much for having us. To Miss Mullen and to Dr. Caesar, if it wasn't for y'all, where would we be? You know, and it's a horrible, horrible, horrible experience to have your life looked upon as in being insignificant, as opposed to everybody else that's in the facility for one reason or another. These things should not be, because they are not God. They did not give us our life. We all have medical issues, and we should not be treated in this manner. I've been struggling, and just like Dr. Caesar said, you have to file within a year. Well, I can't forget, for me, a year would have been my mother's 88th birthday that they kicked me out, February the 21st. So I don't have too much longer. Now, and I live in Pennsylvania, and I know that Pennsylvania is a pleading state, so that you can file pro bono. I mean, you can file pro se, rather. But I didn't know half the things that you were saying. But they kicked me out after 5 years because they got this new guy, and it was just so much drama. It was like a soap opera. It wasn't.
And this is First Sanius Clinic. I think you need to name the abusers.
Yes. Well, it was from the director Eric Smith to Naima Selby to Lewis Moore to the techs. It was all of them, and it was heavily documented by texts, emails, you name it, and the things that they did. We need help because, you know that you can't keep yourself alive, and you know that you need these facilities. But when they want to make it bad for you, there's nothing that you can do to stop them. And when they got to the point where they had nothing on me, they actually made stuff up. And they put it in my records. And what bothered me about that is I have a 41-year-old handicapped son since birth. You know, and they tried to say that I wasn't compliant. I said if I wasn't compliant, that would have meant that I wasn't taking care of myself or my son. I would not do nothing like that.
I have a question on that. Did you request a hearing, ma'am?
Yes, we advocated.
There were several meetings between the network and the staff, but they just kept on doing what they were doing.
What I meant was, see, that's what I'm saying. That's what we educate. Time someone does something to you, there's a grievance procedure within the company. That's where we come in and we educate the people because they don't know about it. We find out what is their grievance procedure. So if they put something in your file that you think shouldn't be there, there's a grievance procedure where you can appeal that decision.
No,
usually it's a formal committee or another supervisor to get that problem taken care of because you have certain rights to privacy. HIPAA has to do with privacy. Your health information is very private.
Dr. Caesar, that doesn't happen in dialysis. You do a grievance or whatever, and you follow. They even have Code of Federal Regulations that every patient can complain about care free from retribution, retaliation, including discharge. Uh-huh. However, the network is the industry, and they sign off on these patients. We had, now with Terry, she had, and they knew, Fresenius knew, they were terminating her illegally. We have it all in writing. It's all in documents. So it doesn't happen in dialysis because they control everything. Like Craig says, you go to the White House, it goes to HHS, and then it goes to CMS, and then it goes to them. And that young gentleman that was on last week, 14 patients, and this is a DaVita, 14 patients complained because they'd show up for dialysis. They were told if they were short of staff that they can go to the hospital if they're distressed. Now, they wrote a letter to the Senator Iverson of Georgia, and it went to Senator Iverson, automatically sends it to HHS, as does every governor, civil rights, all these organizations. It goes right back to CMS, then it goes to the network with a complaint, and who's sitting on the boards but the medical director of Fresenius at the time.
I see.
So they started terminating them, and we stopped three terminators. So you don't, the grievance process, or if you go to the network, it is an instant you are targeted because they have the contract through the federal government.
Okay. This is the suggestion I have for the young lady who was just talking. This is your grievance process. Now, from now on, remember, power educates. You empower people when you show them how to fish for themselves. From now on, whenever you have a grievance, you create your own if the company doesn't have one. And this is the way you do it. You write a two-paragraph letter, date it and sign it, but the body of the letter is going to simply state something to this effect. I, so-and-so-so, do hereby state that I have a problem with whatever it is and name it, 1, 2, 3. Please correct within 10 days. Remember that word, that number, 10 days, or I will have to take actions to protect my right. That's all you state. You close by saying, this action can be up to and including litigation. Have a good day.
Okay.
I can be, and don't put your phone number down, because whenever things get hot, everybody wants to call. You let them call Ms. Mullins. You put it in writing because you want a response in writing, because the federal courts cannot take anything about a phone call. But they can take a documented letter. Look, Your Honor, back in February of 2018, I sent them a letter. I requested that I didn't think this was right. They failed to respond. That's why we're here today. Because if they don't respond within 10 days, you've already notified them. We don't think you have a proper grievance procedure. Everybody's got a grievance procedure. They just don't know about it. It's federal court. And within the next 20 days, you go file a suit in federal court yourself. Pro se meaning I'm going to do the work out myself. That's where power comes in. We try to empower people, because we can't file a suit for you. But we can show you what to do when you can't find an attorney who perhaps is being paid off by the system.
Well, I know that they messed up my records, because every time the hospital social worker sends my records to another facility, that facility reads my records, and then they reject me. So I know that they put in there.
Well, see, they wanted her. They wanted Terry to sign, and we even have it documented, because that's my job as an advocate, I feel, is to document legally for the patient. The thing
Is this Ms. Terry that joined the organization? I don't want to give your name away.
Yes, it is.
Because you should have gotten your membership.
Yeah.
You should have gotten your membership card within the last couple of days.
I did.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Okay. So you see, because I told you, normally within 30 days you will get a card and you will be getting other materials. Well, we send the card first, because anytime you get in trouble, if you need to, you show them that card and say, now, I'm not trying to threaten anybody, but I'm a member of an organization that helps protect human rights. You may have to deal with this person here. We tell people, use it, because they're using, like, the senators, some of them getting shakedowns. That's very disheartening to hear that you have a whole system there that's supposed to help the voiceless, and they're just sitting down in the Oval Office in the meetings letting people die. We've got to stop that.
Exactly.
So we're in power. We'll do what we can.
She's
a member now, right?
Yes,
she is. She's a bona fide, full-fledged member, and she's going to be getting some. She's going to be getting some materials in the mail, just like I suggested. You know, we've checked her out, everything, but she's a bona fide member, so they better watch out now, because we're going to recommend she file suit. And when word gets around, oh, you don't have a grievance procedure? What do you think the federal court system is? It's a grievance procedure. Just that simple.
I see what you're doing. That's brilliant, Dr. Caesar. That's brilliant.
I could tell you that they tried to say. It's a serious matter.
And they can write anything they want and get away with it, because it's basically your word against theirs. But what saved me was that I was texting and emailing
documenting
to document what they were doing.
Exactly what I said earlier.
Right. Well, what they wanted her to do in order for her to live, even though they knew it was an illegal termination, they knew that she wanted to live, and in order to live, because they wrote her up as Hannibal's Lecter, has a better reputation, and to watch out for this woman. But anyhow, they wanted her to sign a behavioral contract, admitting that she was wrong. So well, I said they're illegal. They knew they were illegal. I've documented that they're illegal, and they still did it. Now, so she is now, if she would admit a guilt for something she never did, well-documented, excellent case, if she would admit a guilt, then she would be in a unit right now. But she's being punished because, like, it's like a contract is an agreement between two people. And they're using her life, and it's an illegal termination. It's an illegal document. We even have Medicare saying that they don't recognize that they're just tools. Well, if she would have admitted that, they're trying to get her, I feel, to admit guilt so she can't sue.
And the bad part about it is that I never did anything that they wrote down for.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll be receiving materials. What we're going to probably be doing after inquiry is filing suit. We'll get that done.
What
I'm trying to say is this. We've got to educate people how to take care of themselves. And normally, with a good company who's not profit-driven, you can reason with the board of directors because they don't want to be sued. But the guys making $1 million a year, they're not afraid of anything but money, power, or lawsuits. Because all of those can cause you some miserable pain. You're sitting up there on the board because the board of directors are going to get named in the lawsuit. And when word gets around town, it usually helps everybody. That's why I had mentioned, I said, Ms. Mullins, please pick about three of your best cases.
And then
we'll take those and we'll see if we could get an attorney to go class action. Once you go class action, it means the whole industry has been put on notice. Two words, no more.
Good.
Yeah, and the thing is we have it fully documented, Dr. Seether, that everybody from Medicare to senators have known. Todd Johnson, he was invited tonight from Medicare, is because what are they going to do to? What are you going to do to them? Because they own all the marbles in the marble game, or all the balls on the table.
Right. And you see,
a judge
would find it very interesting. You know, if I'm a judge, I'm saying, well, no wonder nothing's getting done. So how much do you get paid? Yeah, for example, here we subpoena them and they say, sir, how much do you get paid to be on the board of directors for X corporation that has to do with dialysis? Oh, sir, I only get, $20,000 a year.
You know who the
biggest... You know, you sit on the board? You're going to sign off on anything they send you.
But the point is, too, Dr. Seether, is that Warren Buffett, investor in human life, they are investing because they're immune from the Stark Law, which means these patients are their property. Now, you can ask any patient, and even, well, you know, if we open up the phone lines, you ask any patient, they belong to them. They can't go across the street if there is a DaVita. And percent is because whoever you go to the hospital, they have the contract. Mm-hmm. You belong to them. You don't get a choice.
Well,
they own the pharmacies. They own the laboratories. They own the vascular surgeon. Everything can be kept as a secret.
Well, ma'am, who is the source of their income? Normally, it's public grants or taxpayer money.
Taxpayer money. Some insurance, but only for 3 years. And if let's keep them on the machines for, I think the average is 5 years. And you're supposed to be able to give them transplants, but you need these patients to generate the profit. That's the only thing that they have is the patients. So to me, what is the definition? These patients are chattel.
Well, that's going to change.
Okay, I just thank God for you.
Oh, yes.
I've been doing this 20 years, and I'm fully documented for any lawsuit.
Okay, well, put them on notice. We'll give you 10 days. You don't respond, mm-hmm. see you in court. Just that simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this.
Well, yeah.
Because anything else, from what you just told me, ma'am, is useless.
Right.
You know
so
what you don't
all
understand.
I'm saying is, so if you've been doing something one way for 10 years and it hasn't worked, it's time to change it.
Right.
And
but
the,
when you
and
own
the,
the, when you have the board, the only thing this industry cares about is their money. And the only way to attack them, the patients, their lives are the most valuable. The industry,
right.
the only God they know is money.
Okay, I said that. So let's get busy. How much time do we have left, by the way? It's a one-hour show, right?
Well, we were going to go an hour and a half, but if you have to go, I understand.
No, I'll go over a little. I think we're coming to a close because I try to sum things up in a nutshell. You know, because I think I get the picture. The picture is really corruption. And the only way to deal with the only way to deal with corruption is the courts. Al Capone was corrupted during Prohibition. He was so powerful, he paid off the mayor of Chicago. He bought off the governor. That's where they got the term untouchable. No one could touch him. But guess how they got him? Income tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else said, well, why don't they just go in there with their guns? Well, you had an army of guns, too. And it wouldn't look good. You go over there and just try to kill off a bunch of people to get to one man. So they went so there's a way to get these people, and usually it's by airing out their dirty laundry, because as soon as Miss T, Miss X files that lawsuit, they become empowered, and they have the right to subpoena all of their records. They have a right to subpoena Deuces Tecum is subpoena all the records containing them both that they have knowledge of and they secretly have done. A subpoena, they can also subpoena the president of the company. Well, I've got to be in Ireland, counseling.
Well, the thing is, too, Dr. Caesar, I have evidence and documentation that the CEOs are just as liable because they've had knowledge, too. I made sure that I pierced the veil of the corporation to make them accountable.
Well, put them on notice. Type out a letter and just said, look, we're through talking. You know, because it's people's lives on the line. We don't have time for talk anymore. We have time.
Right.
We've got to litigate. Let a judge air out their dirty laundry and let them face the people, those 10 people who sit in the cross there and say, okay, how does this feel now? You begging us to dismiss a lawsuit, you know. But that's up to them if they want to settle, each one of them settle for, say, like $3 million. That's up to them. But there's going to be one or two of them say, no, I want to take it all the way because I want y'all to feel my pain, what I've been going through the last 3 to 10, 15 years. You know, so that's their right. They become empowered. Right now, they don't listen to people who are voiceless.
Right.
Hey, you're right.
I thank you so much, Dr. Caesar.
That's what we do. Now, those who want to join, like I stated, you could check with Ms. Mullins on my contact information. I've given everybody my email because I tell her I give everybody my email because it comes in. I select the ones I want to address. We may get some phony ones or whatever. I just selected it.
Right.
I can read it at 3 in the morning. A phone call, we may play phone tag for a week. But an email, I do try to read it. But Ms. Mullins has the information of how to join. And you have one person that she knows who is already going through the system. She's gotten a membership card. She's going to be getting some other materials. It'll be up to her to give Ms. Mullen some information, because she'll be the first from the East that we have a case who will know what the process is.
Okay. I sent that to her.
Any other patients, we want to give each one of them a little time to talk and tell their story. Don't want to miss anybody. Any other patients that are waiting to tell their story?
Are there anybody on the board, Marty?
Yes. Well, you've got Greg and you've got Miss Lee. And Ron, I think, is still on. That's where we're at right now.
Okay. I thought there was a 720 there.
Hang on. Let me see here. I got to go down through all 50 calls. Hold on. No, there isn't.
Well, there was. Okay. Was there a 913?
913. Boom, 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 boom. No.
Okay, because that's the other person that's well documented. This patient was terminated due to the fact she's a former FBI document inspector, and she questioned a 30,000 medication she never received, and it wasn't her signature. Now she would know, and they terminated her.
Wow.
And to find out, she didn't even need to be on dialysis.
Oh, wow.
Plus, they tried, in our opinion, tried to kill her because she had a high, this is a Fresenius. She had a high, really high blood pressure, scary. Her husband texted me, and I said, you need to call 911. Well, he called 911. They show up and they say, oh, that's normal for this patient. We have this well documented. This is normal for this patient. So what happened was I said, you need to call. So the ambulance comes, and they came and they would not let her go, saying this was normal. And then we had to call the police in order to have her able to go without any harassment, that it was unlawful restraint. I mean, that's just an example of what we deal with here.
Wow.
To find out she didn't even have to be on dialysis. And I mean, I gave them your number because they put a security guard with a gun, threatened her husband with a gun, with another security guard carrying a gun. These are the vicious things that they do, and it's got to stop.
Arlene.
Yes.
Can I break in here just a second? The security guard with a gun, we run into this in guardianship all the time. When they take these emergency petitions for guardianship and the wife or husband comes in the next day to visit their spouse, here's this person, armed guard, standing at the door, threatening them.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell is this about?
Well, I was even, when I went up to Michigan, I was really proud of the fact that they had a security guard take me in with a gun. And I'm like, I'm just an advocate, but they didn't want any other patients talking to me. They even pulled that on me.
Oh, wow.
And that was at DaVita. Yeah.
And another thing that I noticed was that they were saying that I wasn't compliant. And if I wasn't compliant, then how come when I get all the medical bills from Medicaid and Medicare, they bill them for everything?
Well, they're not allowed. It's illegal to terminate due to, or even write you on a contract for non-compliance. It's patient dumping. And that's basically what they're doing. They say, Arlene, we can choose. We, as doctors, do not have to take Medicare. I'm sorry. They're already your patients. So you, otherwise, this patient dumping. They've done this for years. We got that stopped. It's illegal. It's patient dumping.
Arlene,
I have a phone conference that's coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
I could use 5 more minutes if anybody has any questions of me. If not, I would just say, we can just follow up by email
Okay.
And we'll do our best to help wherever we can.
Thank you
well,
very
thank
much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, the last thing is my mailing address is Post Office Box 1281, Opelousas, Louisiana, zip code 70571. Again, that's Post Office Box 1281, Opelousas, Opelousas, 70571. The organization name is Power.
I'll post that. I'll post that on our Facebook.
Sure.
For patients.
Okay. Right.
Thank
well,
you so much.
Thank you, Dr.
So, yeah. You're quite welcome. It's time for action. It appears that the words have fallen on deaf ears, but whenever they get a subpoena to meet court, we had a guy the other day we subpoenaed. He claimed, I'm the president of a major university. Well, we said, you better revise your schedule, sir. You're not 18. So you, the judge issued the subpoena. He signed off on it. Don't be there. There will be a warrant out for your arrest. We don't play with them. So I'm just letting y'all know it's time out for all this talk. Send a letter out, Ms. Mullins. Put them on notice.
Okay.
You don't have to talk if you don't want to. You'll talk to a judge. You know, it's people's lives on the line. That's just disgraceful, okay?
Right.
So if there's nothing else, you know, bid you all a good evening. And,
yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Mullins is my contact to help out, and I said we'll do whatever we can.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you for doing something.
You're quite welcome. Everybody have a blessed evening, and go out and enjoy yourselves tomorrow. It's a new day, okay?
You
okay,
too.
Thank you.
Okay, good evening. Bye.
Marty?
What?
Marty?
Yeah.
Well,
Marty?
Well, I feel really good because I think, how do you feel as patients? I mean,
really
I am.
Really good.
There's somebody that cares. And these are not people that you want to play with. I have nothing but respect, but I was scared to death the first couple times I talked to him. But he's a wonderful man, and I've been sending him the charts that patients have agreed to, and I think when you start reading the documentation, there are class action suits here.
Mm-hmm.
You finally got a voice through Dr. You know, I keep calling him Reverend, you know, Dr. Caesar, yeah.
And this is across the country, not just one state.
He knows
isolated.
It. I've sent him charts all over the nation. I took them up to Washington, D.C., some of the cases. Tomorrow is a new day. I will put everybody on notice. I will send certified registered letters. We are not playing games anymore. This is human life, and they have gotten away with murder.
Arlene, here in Minnesota, one of the little-known secrets kept by the district court here is that there are right now just up under 400 lawsuits over the drug Levaquin. It's a fluoroquinolone.
Right.
One of our lawyers
is in on that.
Yes. And one of the side effects of it is it causes renal failure.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of the medications, Marty, medications are the biggest. And they just give you a little warning. It may cause, well, you might be that may.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there are always alternatives to that may.
Mm-hmm.
May
yeah.
cause.
Yeah.
So I'm really careful. I don't take any medications. I'm very careful of Tylenol. And because I would rather deal with a little swelling, starting arthritis, and to go and possibly have lymphoma, cancer, kidney failure, liver failure. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we feed our patients all these medications. And the thing is, it's just a moneymaker. And dialysis, let me tell you, I suspect, and that's for the legal thing, is that they use a lot of these expensive medications because the injectables jack up the prices. They don't care about you.
Yeah.
If you read about GramuFlow, they knew it was harming patients. They kept using it. There is no value in this day until it changes to be a dialysis patient.
Well,
and
know,
the workers, I also want to say, is to contact us. We give you confidentiality. We only know what's going on by those who give us the documentation and talk to the lawyers. It's going to take all of us, and everybody, it needs to be confidential. I mean, I'm in fact, if somebody calls me as a whistleblower, I don't want to hear it. You go right up to the lawyers. And that is what is also going to clean up this industry. But when you have Medicare, the HHS secretaries, knowing that these patients are at risk, they knew that during our 2000 hearing. But what did they do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because
Arlene,
no value.
I'm sorry. You mentioned Tylenol. Tylenol, acetaminophen. And now they've been trying for at least 15 years to take Tylenol, acetaminophen-based products off the market for children.
Correct.
Because it's a very, very dangerous product. And one of the things it says on there, you know, if you get on the manufacturer's site, is that it can cause liver failure. It can cause renal failure.
Correct.
And here they're selling stuff over the counter to people. Now, excuse me, I see a plan in action here. When I go to the doctor, I can't take any kind of opioid or anything like that. I can't take any, and I refuse to take anything, actually. But you get these drugs like Vicodin, which is 50% acetaminophen.
Right.
It's 50% Tylenol.
They'll eat your kidneys.
It'll tear your kidneys up. And,
it's even in our food system. Did you hear about some of these cereals?
What?
Are with pesticides. I mean, we need to be more diligent in what we put in our mouths.
Not just to
jack up the money for them.
Right. About 2 years ago, I quit eating when I read that wheat was one of the most toxic substances to the human body. Your body can't utilize it. It's actually a severe allergen in any form. I quit eating bread and pasta, which I love dearly. Now, I will have it if I go out somewhere, which is a very rare occasion, but I do not keep it in the house. I quit eating cereal, any kind of cereal, because of exactly what you're talking about, is the pesticides and herbicides, glyphosate in them, also attacks your kidneys, attacks
and
your liver.
And cancer-causing agents, too.
Yes, yes.
I was shocked when I heard that. I was shocked. But here we are getting off the thing. But we just better wake up. We just better wake up in society, because it may not be me now, but it might be me tomorrow.
The thing is, I don't think it is off topic. And the reason I don't is you've seen this when dialysis is so necessary. When so many people need dialysis, that you have to have a federally funded program to make sure they're taken care of. Don't tell me they don't know what's causing this. This isn't a common occurrence. You go back 50 years. You rarely hurt anybody with this condition. But now here we are 50 years later, and they have genetically modified the foods. It's full of chemicals, herbicides, pesticides. The meat is full of hormones, vaccines, and antibiotics. And
growth hormones. I love that one.
And you see all of this, and what's happening is we've got a population that is becoming sicker by the day.
Right.
And one of the red flags waving out there is renal failure. We're putting things into our bodies that our bodies cannot tolerate. And so what takes a beating? Our livers, our kidneys, our heart.
The thing is, to me, it's nothing more than greed. And ethics are very lacking. It seems like we gauge people by how much money they put in the bank. And what I do is I feel that there's no better than and there's no lesser than in any of us. And when we start thinking that we're better or deserve more than somebody else, we're in trouble. We need to get back to community, and we need to care about things and people that don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I am so relieved with Dr. Caesar. I am so relieved because this nightmare will be over. I've talked to him many, many times. This man is legit. This man cannot be bought. This man will deliver.
I think
and
that's
Marty,
great.
Thank you for having giving us a voice. I can't thank you enough.
Well,
thank
it
you.
Just, you know, we're all in this together. That's the thing you
talk
about.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. We might be miles apart, but we are still in this together. What affects you is going to roll down and affect me eventually if I don't stop the downhill roll. It's what is that saying about, you know, what you do the least of me, you do to me. And this
That's
is
right.
exactly it. When you allow this to happen, believe me, something's going to come knocking on your door too.
Well, I'll tell you, I wouldn't want Dr. Caesar knocking at my door. I'm glad I told him. I said, I'm glad you're on our side. I hate to come against you. Wonderful man, wonderful man, wonderful. And I can't thank him enough.
Talking about. How big do you think this is going to get? I know these shows are just banging. I mean, they just are. What do you think is going to be the effect of the shows, Arlene? What do you hope the effect will be?
I think the effect will be that it's public education, because this has been a dirty secret. And I know when I first started, everyone thought, well, you know, I think somebody wrote on a public board, and I know who it was, that said, gee, Arlene has a third grade education. I wrote back and said, no, Arlene has a first grade education. How does it feel to have a first grader kick your ass? Love and kisses, Arlene. So, you know, it's just, but they thought, and you know what's really nice, those that were the most critical of me and hit me the hardest and push me back the hardest are the ones that are singing the mantra now. So getting the word out, it's out now. It's out. It is not going to go into the dark corners or underground anymore. The light of day is on these characters. And from what I understand, the people, from the lawyers, that the people, all the way up to the HHS secretaries, Medicare handlers, even though you left that position, you were in the position with knowledge and you are accountable. And I have talked, I think what they're talking about is going after also the workers that are doing this. They need to be accountable. So if you hit them on a multi faceted, that is the only way this is going to clean up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's not a secret anymore. And,
good.
You know, it's success has many fathers, failure but one. I find it really amazing that all those that gave me the hardest time in this industry are going to be accountable.
That's
and they are
good.
Singing our mantra. And that I promise. They will be accountable, because we have another organization that's coming in. So all I can say is thank you, God, because it's truly a higher power that has allowed this to get out and people to know.
I still am just – I can't – and I fit in the guardianship issue and in this child support thing where they rip kids away from their parents. The willingness of –
You know, why would you use Reverend Caesar for that too? I mean, Dr. Caesar.
Yes. I would – you know, I'm going to have to look at his stuff, but I would sure like to. You add hospice into this, and this euthanizing of the elderly, this is an execution. That's all this.
Well, the thing is, we have been a society, and if you really stop and think about it, we've been a nation that always has picked on a certain group at different times or at the same mm-hmm. time. So, to me, when we start making ourselves different than somebody else, that is what leads to this kind of behavior, a disposable commodity. I mean, so it's like when in a war, 20% casualties is an acceptable risk.
Yeah, even if it's kids and women and children, you know, it's collateral damage. And but you know,
it
it's
is.
Absolutely
right. They're disposable.
Yeah, we have. I go back again to that book, White Trash, and about it's a 400-year history of the United States you never heard. And
well,
I'm part American
Indian. They used to shoot American Indians. I mean, I'm very little, but enough that I'm proud of. But they were shooting American Indians in California as a sport.
Yes. And but the woman that wrote this book talks about waste populations, human waste,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
how people that are sick and elderly. Poor are considered waste populations. And so because they are considered this way, then you see programs like this in place where they are, and you're absolutely right in the beginning of the show where you talked about these people becoming chattel. They become owned
property. Well, they are.
Property.
They are. They are their own property because they don't have a choice. But we are really getting way off base.
I think this is all ties together because when you look at it, you look at each of these issues as a separate issue, it seems like this is.
Bad. Oh, no, I'm saying that end of life. Somebody called me, and I think you know who it was, that said, I am worried about one of my friends. And uh-huh. that would be going on dialysis. And I said, to mm-hmm. me, it sounds like that it's cheaper care. It costs them less for the end-of-life treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It costs less.
Yes. And this is what it is. This is determining your value economically mm-hmm. rather than in your humanness.
Right. We're all on this ride as a human race, and I don't see any difference in anybody. I judge people. I mean, look at Chili. I adore Chili. He walks mm-hmm. the walk. And Chili is another person that every patient in dialysis should be grateful for. That man has helped open the doors to civil rights to us. I would mm-hmm. still, I mean, what, no one does anything alone, but I just mm-hmm. am so grateful for the people that you meet on your path that open the door, dust you off, and put you together. No one does anything mm-hmm. alone. And Marty, we all need to pull together for everything.
Yes, yes. And these things, all of these issues we've talked about, they're all intertwined. They're all related. They
yes.
all lead to the same end, and that is a calling.
Right.
They consider a disposable portion of the population. And they have done it through these arbitrary laws, through these, like this setup that they've got with dialysis, allowing them to own the whole operation and the patient.
I do have that information for you tomorrow on how you can protect yourself from them taking the patients away from their family and doing what they want to get, you know, that is another
medical
issue.
Yeah. Yes.
So anyhow, people can go to our site, dialysisadvocates.com, or they can go to our Facebook, which is Dialysis Advocates, and you can message me directly and I will forward Dr. Caesar's information. Greg, how do you feel? Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I feel great. Thank you.
Yeah, because he's been fighting the big dogs. And the doctor, I can't think of his name now, the doctor who did this to him just conveniently are retired, but that just to make him not accountable for the harm that he has done to Greg.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can't run from it because we got you.
Yep. This all just upsets me so badly. It truly does. And
I think that Reverend Caesar is going to stand up to the fire and stand up to the plate for every dialysis patient. And from what I understand, after the elections, we will have another organization which we will announce.
Excellent. And I want to remind
Terry, do you feel better?
I'm laying down. I've been laying down since 5 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
No, do you feel better about Ron Caesar? Because he's,
Definitely.
You are not alone anymore, girlfriend. I told you that.
Yeah.
I will do whatever it takes to end this, and we're to the point now that it is going to implode.
Yeah,
I hope so. I hope so.
It's about time because they need to be held accountable.
Right, and they will be. They will be, and there's a lot of patience. Well, anyhow, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
I think we've caused enough trouble tonight, Marty. And Greg and Terry and Dr. Laird.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I truly appreciate all the participation in these shows, and Dr. Caesar was particularly.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yes. And so thank you, everyone, and everybody that tuned in. Thank you also. We had a full phone board. Just a ton of people listening, and people messaging me during the show of they wanted the address of Dr. Caesar, and of course he gave it out. And you can always come back and listen to the show again in archive. It's there available.
Well, right, and also next week we're going to have Ora Lomax, which was a civil rights. They terminated her. And we helped with the NAACP, but Ora Lomax was one lady that did the lunch counters back in the 60s.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to go back. Okay. Thank you.
All
good,
right.
Night.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for having us.